Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse in the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Vayehi Miketz. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parshas Miketz, that year was the fourth day of the month of Tevis, in the year Tav Shin Lamed Gimel, 53 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in this week's Torah portion where it says Vayehi Miketz Nasayim Yomim. It was the end of 2 years of days. Pari has a dream. What was his dream? He's standing on the Nile. Shabbos, as we know, the questions that are brought out in Torah and in Torah Chaim, the classical Chassidic discourses on the Parsha, and the Chassidic discourses after as well, seemingly, what's the connection between Pari dreaming to the fact that it was after 2 years? What's the connection between the two? Also, we have to understand, sometimes it says shtei shanim, 2 years, and over here it says it in one word, shnasayim. It turns the shnei shanim into one word. And the question is, why is that? Also, why does it say after shnasayim, which means 2 years, it says yom days. It says shnasayim, 2 years. Also, we have to understand what the verse goes on to say, Pare is dreaming, and what? He's standing on the Nile. But we know it's brought down in the Medrash, and Rashi brings it as well on this verse, that it didn't rain in Egypt. So how do they have irrigation? So the Nilus, the Nile, would elevate itself, and that's how it irrigated the land. In other words, so the Nile would go ahead, and in Hebrew terminology, Kabbalistic terminology, means it was Mashpia. It gave out energy to Egypt. And that's the reason why they served the Nile, because this Nile was the one that irrigated the whole land. So if that's the case, why did it say Pari standing on the Nile? In other words, even though we know Pari said the Nile's mine and I made it, I mean, he says that he's the one that's giving energy to the Nile. But that's what he told other people. But over here, when they showed him in the dream, what did they show him? That he's standing on top of the Nile. But the fact is, he would receive from the Nile in reality. So seemingly, if we're talking about the dream that he had, the dream, it should have said that he's standing next to it. So he should have said, I'm standing next to the Nile. Now, this that the verse says, comes in a continuation. It's the first verse in Parsha Miketz, but it comes in the continuation of the previous Parsha. What does it say in the previous Parsha? V'loi zochar sar mashkim es yoshev v'yishkecheu. The butler did not remember Yosef for him interpreting his dreams, and he forgot about him. In other words, why was that? It was a punishment to Yosef because he relied on the butler to remember him. And like we know, the verse says clearly, Ashrei Hagever, fortunate is the person, asher shom Hashem eftachoi, that he puts his trust in Hashem, v'leipana, and he doesn't turn to Rehovim. What does that mean? So they explain, you don't put your trust in the Egyptians that are called Rahav. So you're not supposed to put your trust in the Egyptians. And that's why he had to be in prison for 2 more years. So based on this, it's still not understood. He should have said, Miketz Nasayim Yomim, this verse should have been in the previous Torah portion. Where in the previous Torah portion it says that he didn't remember and he forgot him, it should have said at the end of those 2 years. And why? Because since he went ahead and he trusted the Egyptians, who are called Rahav, so besides the fact that the punishment was that they didn't remember and they forgot about him, he had an additional punishment that he stayed in prison for another 2 years. And that would have been in last week's Torah portion. And this Torah portion should open up and it should have said it wasn't after 2 years, it was after 12 years. Why? Because if you do the calculation, the time that Yosef spent in prison, because when did they sell him? They sold him, he was 17 years old. When did he leave prison? He was 30. So it was obviously 12 years passed, 12 complete years. So the Torah portion should have began, it's after 12 years that he was in prison. Or if you don't want to be specific how many years, it should have said that after his time of serving his prison sentence. And especially that the main connection to Pari's dreams is referring to the first 10 years that Yosef was in prison. Because the fact is, Yosef wasn't set to go to prison only for 10 years. And then when he told the butler remember me, remind Pari, because I only have two years left. I only have 2 years left. So the question is, why does it say after 2 years and Pari's having a dream? Having the dream. Also, we have to understand when it says at the end of Shnasayim Yomim. So we know there's two opposite interpretations. In other words, in the Zohar it says like this, that there's two ways that the Ketz, the end of time, comes. One is called Ketz Hayomim, which is spelled Yud Mem, and the other one is Ketz Hayomin. It sounds the same, but the other one is spelled Yud Mem Yud Nun. So they're both spelled Yud Mem Yud. One has a Mem at the end, and one has a Nun at the end. Yomim is days, and Yomin is actually right. Now, so those are the two ways to talk about the end of time. In Torah Ur, with the classic Siddur discourse on the Parsha, he explains that this that it says Miketz at the end of Shnasayim Yomim, at the end of days with a Mem at the end, in other words, what does that mean spiritually? That it ended the idea of what? Of Torah. Because Torah is connected to two years. Like it says in reference to Torah, V'eyeh Shashuyim Yoyim Yoyim. It's going to be thing like some place at Yom Yom, 2 days. Torah is connected to two, and like we know that the Torah was given, it came before the world 2,000 years. So you see the idea of two, and after that that idea of Torah finished, now Pari has a dream. So in other words, so based on this, it's referring to Ketz Hayomim, days which connect to the Torah, and like the Zohar says, which is actually called Ketz, the end of the Smoila, the left. So that's what it says in Torah. However, in Likutei Torah, from the Arizal, he explains it's Ketz HaYomin, the Ketz of Yomin, which is referring to the right. And what is it referring to? The end of Galut. And the same thing also is explained in Medrash Rabbah, which is when it says that Ketz Sam L'Chosh, Hashem made an end, darkness is going to end at some point. So you have two extremes. You have the right, you have the left. You have the end of times and you have Torah. So the question is, how do you have two opposite insights in one verse? Also, in Bereishis Rabba, he explains that there's two insights. And as after he explains the idea of Miketz Shnasayim Yomim, and you know, from the expression of that there's the end of darkness, he brings another insight that from after he went in prison, he went out to be a king. So the question is, what is the connection with these two things? On one hand, you're saying it's Ketz on the Choshech, an end of darkness, and the other hand, you're saying what? He's going out to rule and be the king. Now, these insights, it's all brought in Ora Torah, which again, the classic Siddiqal insights on the Parsha, and he continues on to explain as follows, something revolutionary and a whole shift in perspective. And he says like this, that Yosef HaTzadik went down to Egypt wasn't for the reason that the Jewish people should end up in Egypt as slaves, not so. But why did he go down to Egypt? Yosef went down to Egypt to give power to the Jewish people to leave Egypt. Two different worlds. In other words, you're going to say, the fact is, what caused the Jewish people to come down to Egypt? Because Yosef was there. That's true, technically, but that wasn't the reason why they came down. Because the fact is, it says clearly, that Yaakov could have went down to Egypt with iron chains, if that's what Hashem wanted. But why Yosef HaTzadik went first, is that the Jewish people will have the power for the Geula, the redemption of going out of Egypt. And how did that happen? That's because we know Yosef collected all the silver, which was in Egypt, and also in Eretz Canaan. And especially like it says in Chazal, in the Talmud Psachim, that Yosef collected all the gold and the silver of the whole world. And when the Jewish people left, they obviously went and they took a lot of it with them. And we all know the three treasures that Yosef HaTzadik hid when he was in Egypt. That was from the silver that he collected. And what is that referring to? It's referring to elevating the sparks of the whole world. In other words, Yosef going down to Egypt gave the power of the Gula. Whole different perspective. You think of Yosef going down to Egypt, you think, okay, that's going to cause the Jewish going down to suffer. No. Yosef is paving the way for the Gula. His eye is on the redemption. Now, since the exile of Egypt, as we know, is a source of all the exiles, And that's why the exile of Egypt is not considered in the Medrash of the four exiles that we had. You know, Babel, Madai, Yavin, and Edom. Why? Because going down in Egypt is the source of everything. So therefore, if it's the source of all the exiles, it's also the source of all the redemptions. In other words, that the cause, reason why Yosef went into Egypt, so we should have the power to go out of Egypt, but also the power of any redemption that we have in the future comes from Yosef HaTzadik. And that's why it says, Ki Erev Rav Allah Itam, that the Erev Rav went up with them. What is Erev Rav? So the multitude of which, that's the literal translation. But Rav is spelled Reish Beis, 202, which is referring to the 202 sparks that were transformed and elevated in the Jewish people's exile in Egypt. Because we know it was the hardest exile the Jewish people ever had. And that's why most of the sparks of the 288, Rachpach, most of the sparks, 202 out of 288 sparks, were transformed. And what was left is 86 sparks that were not transformed, but that gave us the power that through the fact that Yosef gathered all the silver and all the gold of all of the world, we have the power to elevate that as well. And especially, let's explain the Likutei Torah, that what is Kesef? Kesef is literally silver. But what is Kesef spiritually? Kesef spiritually is love. In other words, this that Yosef HaTzadik collected all the silver in the world was so that we should have the power of our love of every single Jew in Gullus. Because in Gullus you can say, oh my gosh, I'm depressed, I'm unhappy. No, we still have love. We have love for Hashem, we have love for life. Where do we get it from? We get it from the kesef, from the silver, which is love that Yosef HaTzadik collected. In other words, so Yosef going down to Egypt was the power for all the redemptions, up until the future redemption, when it's going to be in a level of menucha, calm and peaceful. And how much and how much more so from King Solomon, that because King Solomon was called Shlomo because it was peace in his days and the Jewish people had calm. And let's explain that length in the Chassidic discourse of Pardei B'Shalom of the Mittler Rebbe. Now, since all of this happened, what, through Yosef HaTzadik, so therefore you have to say that Yosef had it as well. If he created it, he obviously had it. In other words, what was Yosef's way of operating? What was his way of serving Hashem? Menucha, calm and peaceful. And that's what he explains the difference between Yosef HaTzadik and all the other tribes. And even the patriarchs as well. Because the tribes, they had to disconnect from the world. Why? Because if they got involved in the world would bother them. And they wouldn't be able to serve God peacefully. And that's why the tribes went ahead and they got themselves a job to deal with sheep. They don't want to deal with the world. But Yosef was on a whole different level, and a higher level. And he was totally cleaving to God on the highest level. And therefore, because he was cleaving to God, he can rule over Egypt. He can supply food for the whole Egypt. And nobody was higher than him. He was the one in charge. And then when it says he came to the house to do his work, meaning literally to do his work. Why? He was literally able to do the work of the Egyptians, which is, we know Egypt is the lowest place in the world. But he was not affected. The world, Egypt, wasn't on his radar. And he wasn't affected by it. And it didn't disturb him from serving Hashem. And like it's ever since explained at length in the Chassidic discourse by Yehimi Kates of Tafresh Ayin Tes. And over there, there's other revolutionary ideas in this subject. So in other words, so Yosef HaTzadik was in the level of menucha and peace. Even though he's in Egypt, he was the one in charge, nothing affected him. And that's why it says, Miketz at the end of Shnasayim Yomim, the end of two years. What does that mean practically? So we already learned before that Yomim is referring to the days, which is referring to Shashuyim Yom Yom, which is referring to the idea of Torah, which is the level of Chachma and Bina, which is Torah. Like we said before, the 2,000 years before the world was created, we will receive the Torah. And so what does it say in reference to Torah? Miketz was the end. In other words, that in here, well, it was not revealed. What was not revealed? The Tainug Atzmi, the internal deep pleasure satisfaction. Why? In Torah, Torah is great, Chachman Bina, but Tainug, the real Tainug, is not revealed there. And therefore, Because Chachma and Bina on their own, which is basically, that's the real gift we have. Chachmaschem, Binaschem, that's the Torah, it's Chachma and Bina. But at the end, Chachma and Bina is still finite. And therefore, the pleasure and the satisfaction that you get from learning Torah, which is great, but it's still limited. It's limited to what? Your Chachma and Bina, how much intellect and you connect to it. But since intellect is limited, so therefore, at some point it's going to end. And therefore the pleasure is going to end. And that's not the real pleasure we're looking for. And that's why it says, Keitz HaYamim, was the end of time. It means that you can learn Torah, use Chachma, use Bina, and you're not inspired, you're lacking the Tainug. So how do you remain connected? You have Keitz HaYamim, Torah's not doing it for me. So then you have to work, serve Hashem with Eskafia. You just accept. So you stay in the zone. But after this finishes, that gives you the power to go to the next level. What's the next level? He's hapcha, total transformation. What is that referring to? Keitz hayamin, with the nun at the end. And that's what it says, that you light the candles, for example, Hanukkah, until there's no one left in the street. In other words, the idea is to elevate even the left leg, which is smiley, the left, which is comes in on the left side, and then you're going to have Keitz HaYamim, the end of times, which means you're able to experience Atik, the highest level, because in Atik there is no left. You go when you go from Iskafia to Ishabcha, you can have real Tainug, and over there everything is amazing. And that's also the connection between these two insights in the Medrash. In other words, specifically when you go through Keitz Sam L'Choshech, and you're able to end the darkness through Iskafia and Ishabcha, then you can reach the level of to be the king. That from prison, you go out to be the king. In other words, in the beginning, Yosef was in prison. And over there, he was going out and transforming the sparks. It was a war. It was a war that he was dealing with. And like it's explained in the Chassidic discourse of Baruch HaGoimel, that the previous Rebbe said when he left prison, that basically when he was in prison, it's like the soul going into the body and struggling with the limitations of the body. But then when you overcome those struggles, you create Keitzam L'Choshech. The darkness doesn't affect you. And like explained in Medrash Rabbah, that they made an end to the Yetzer Hara, which basically leaves the world, gets uprooted from the world, and from the prison, from the darkness, when you finish your work, you go out to be the king, up to the point where it's going to be like what it says, it's going to be like when the future of Mashiach comes, and it's going to be on the level of what? Of peace, Menucha, calm. And through Yosef, who did this when he was in Egypt, he gives the power for every single Jew, because every single Jew is called on the name of Yosef. Like it says in the prophets, Noye Katzon Yosef. It means every single Jewish person has the power to serve Hashem in a way of it's calm and it's peaceful. And that's why it says, Shnasayim Yomim. What is it? What is the idea of days? It's referring to the lower level of days, where you have to deal with the darkness and Iskafia, and Yomim and Loyin, the higher level days. In other words, the lower level days is referring to Malchus, which is connected to time, and Yoimin and Lion is referring to Zo, which is higher than time. And the same thing also in reference to the Shanim, the years. Because when you unify the two, you have the unification of Zo, the Zer Amp and the small face, which is the 6 meters of Malchus. And that's why it says over here specifically, Shnasayim in one word. And like Rashi says, finished this week. In other words, it's basically it's 1 week, which is called a block of time, and then afterwards, after the first moment of the 2 years, you already have the whole experience of the 2 years. And the same thing also, what he adds over here, the Shnasayim Yomim, it's referring to the unification of the lower level of days, where you have to struggle and you have to transform, and you have to deal with the darkness, and Yom Elohim, when you can deal with all the holiness in the way of Menucha. Up to the point where he reached the level that comes after where it says, Upare Choylem, and Pare is dreaming, and he's standing on the Nile. And from the Nile, what's happening? The seven cows are coming out. What is that referring to spiritually? So that's referring to what we know it says in Kabbalah, Nekeva Tosaviv Gover. that when Mashiach comes, the female energy is going to overpower the male energy, which is going to be like in the future when Mashiach comes. And this is what it says referring to Paroi. It's not just referring to the Paroi of that time. It's referring to the Paroi of holiness. Because Paroi comes from Isparihu Kol Nehorim. All the lights get opened up and get exposed. And that's going to happen. The Rebbe finished off so beautifully and powerfully. It's going to happen with the coming of Mashiach, Bekarev Mamash, literally very, very soon, right here, right now. So here we have another beautiful Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe. A lot of powerful points. I think one of the most powerful points is, if you remember, Yosef went down to Egypt to bring the Gula. And because he went down to bring the Gula, he focused on the Gula, Egypt didn't affect him. And that's something every one of us receives from Yosef, that we have the power to experience Gula in everything. Let's hope and pray that the Rebbe finishes off. We're going to have the Gula, the coming of Mashiach. And next class will be Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.